天津道場の一番 Lock your wigs, inflate your shoes, and adjust your nozzles. Welcome to the fire sign Funway. It's free, a fair for all, no fair for anyone.
You're at the fair, aren't you glad that you're there? Blow up your nose, pump your shoes, fluff your hair. Don't be scared, cause we're just full of air. Follow the old yellow line till you're there. Where? Back from the shadows again. Come out where an engine's your friend. Where the vegetables are green and you can pee into the stream. Back from the shadows again.
Ho ho ho! Howdy everybody! I'm your whispering squash.
And I'm your lonesome meat.
And I'm Artie Choke. And we're just a joke!
So don't be afraid, little people, cause we're just holy grails.
I wonder what all these folks are doing out on the funway.
Can't be much. Nobody's working.
Nobody except in us. And I'm getting tired of standing here with these geeks a-gawking at me.
Now you keep it sweet, Pete.
Now listen here, Leafhead. I'm gonna pluck you out 12 ways from Sunday.
Hold it, boys! Fighting's out of style, and fun's where the fire sign world's at. Ho, ho, ho!
Well, you can bet your roots, Toots! It's tons of fun!
And technical stimulation.
So step on the line!
The fun's inside!
You can ask the big question on the president's ride.
So long, little partner! We're going back to...
We're going back to the shadows again.
Out where engines your friend.
Where the next one? There they go.
Take me to the fair. Take me to the fair. Don't know anywhere I would rather be. Let's go to the fair. We'll walk hand in hand through Tomorrowland, honey, you and me. I wanna see everything, do everything, while we're viewing it all. I'll buy the peanuts and popcorn, we'll have us a ball. You can spin my pay, crush me in the crowds, I'll be in the clouds, honey, I don't care. Take me there by sleigh. Roller skate or bike, any way you like, but take me to the fair. I wanna see everything, I do everything, while we're viewing it all. I'll buy the peanuts and popcorn, we'll have us a ball. You can spend my pay, crush me in the crowd, I'll be in the clouds, honey, I don't care. Take me there by sleigh. Roller skate or bike, any way you like, but take me to the fair. Take me to the fair. Take me to the fair.
The 1962 Seattle World's Fair was my first World's Fair. Like the little girl Elvis is serenading in the song from the movie It Happened at the World's Fair, I had a Belgian waffle with strawberries and whipped cream.
This week's special squirrel squares from Road Ready Flat Snacks. Velcro macaroni sticks to the outside of your ribs and stupid Belgium waffle hats.
Shoplifters, we give you a bigger head start.
Remember, there's no long lines at our checkout counter because there are no checkout counters. We just follow you to your car and read you your rights.
Shoplifters, a market that puts you away.
Visit our 7 convenience stores in King's Knowe.
Also like the girl, I had a terrible stomachache after the waffle. Unfortunately, it didn't lead me to meet a beautiful nurse as a plot point. It just ruined my first day at the fair. I know we saw a lot of national pavilions, but I remember only the stomachache.
can look through the eye and you're seeing it all. Yes, you're seeing it all. As the present unfolds, what the future beholds, you're elated, fascinated. See the art shows, walk the thoroughfare, on the boulevards leading everywhere. Ride a rickshaw, dine on caviar, you can telephone a star. It's a wonderful age on a beautiful stage, demonstrated for you, been created for you. It's just a part of the thrilling start of Century 21.
Now, Mark, let's go to Landfill, California, where the beautiful Roxanne Pavement, dark star of the Mandatory Entertainment Corps, awaits to talk to you.
I am unbelievably honored to be here at remote Indio Perdido Lake near the bank of the lusty Colorado River, where an earth-moving miracle is taking place as far as the eye can see.
What a piece of asphalt.
Yes, Mark. This is Panorama Land 2000, where all of civilization is being gathered together on a desert contoured, climate conditioned, and completely re-greened landfill. Wherever you stand, sit or lie in Panorama Land 2000, there will always be something new. As the nation cleans its drawers of the 20th century in preparation for the millennial year of Century 2000, it is fitting that you should return on the heels of the century. Naturally, it will be exciting to hear what you have to tell, and even more exciting to show your own story here as an example to others. Congratulations from Panorama Land 2000.
A worldwide production of the Century 2000 Corporation and Walt Dednow Enterprises.
All rights removed.
The stomach ache was gone by the following day, and I had dinner with my family at the restaurant on the top of the Space Needle. I think only the Space Needle and the monorail remained from the 62 fare. Thanks to Sputnik and all the science we were learning in school, I was particularly drawn to the Science Pavilion. Its six-screen movie was, to the best of my memory, the first time I saw multi-screens. Expo 67 in Montreal would make major use of multi-screens 5 years later.
A laboratory can be many things and many places. It can be a stagnant pool, or the light of the sun, or the sun itself. The thought of our nearest neighbor as a laboratory has now become very real, and the space just beyond our Earth is almost familiar territory. The atmosphere is a dense but thin coat that carries our weather and our winds. The rain it bears has molded and worked the surface of the land. The crust of the Earth holds fascination and wonder for the scientist. In it, he observes phenomena of his own time, and with equal familiarity, he investigates incidents of ages past. It was here in the rich waters of the sea, a billion years ago, that the rhythms of all life were set. That all the living things we know had their beginnings.
Before the beginning, there was this turtle, and the turtle was alone, and he looked around, and he saw his neighbor, which was his mother, and he lay down on top of his neighbor. And behold, she bore him in tears an oak tree, which grew all day and then fell over like a bridge. And lo, under the bridge there came a catfish, and he was very big, and he was walking and he was the biggest he had seen. And so were the fiery balls of this fish, one of which is the sun, and the other they called the moon.
Yes, some uncomplicated peoples still believe this myth. But here in the technical vastness of the future, we can guess that surely the past was very different. We can surmise, for instance, that these two great balls...
We know for certain, for instance, that for some reason, for some time in the beginning, there were hot lumps cold and lonely. They whirled noiselessly through the black holes of space. These insignificant lumps came together to form the first union, our sun, the heating system. And about this glowing gas bag rotated the Earth, a cat's eye among Aggies, blinking in astonishment across the face of time.
Well, we were covered with a molten scum of rocks, bobbing on the surface like rats. Later, when there was less heat, these giant rock groups settled down among the landmasses. During this extinct time, our Earth was like a steam room. And no one, not even man, could get in. However, the oceans and the sewers were simmering with a rich protein stew, and the mountains moved in to surround and protect them. They didn't know then that living as we know it was already taken over. Thank you.
Animals without backbones hid from each other or fell down. Clamosaurs and oysterettes appeared as appetizers. Then came the sponges, which sucked up about 10% of all life. Hundreds of years later, in the late devouring period, fish became obnoxious. Trailer bikes, chigger bites, and mosquitoes collided aimlessly in the dense gas. Finally, tiny edible plants sprang up in rows, giving birth to generations of insecticides and other small dying creatures. Thank you.
Millions of months passed, and 28 days later, the moon appeared. This small change was reflected best, perhaps, in the sand dollar, which shrank to almost nothing at the bottom of the pool, where even dumb amphibians like catfish laid their eggs in the boiling waters, only to be gobbled up every 3 minutes by the giant sea orphans and jungle bunnies, which scared everybody.
Not just science class prepared me for the fair. I'd been a regular visitor to Disneyland since we first moved to L.A. in 56. Disneyland's Tomorrowland Pavilion certainly had me oriented towards Century 21, as it was called then. As Disneyland offered more and more elaborate rides, they would set the standard for World's Fairs and even overlap them 2 years later in New York.
Well, this is all very entertaining, but I'd really like to hear what Rex has to tell us about this Polynesian pineapple kind of a place here.
Oh, sure. I'd like to just read you a passage from the book about the tiki room here.
Right ahead, Rex. From the Rex Everything Guide to Disneyland.
Okay. The
unpublished.
The Enchanted Tiki Room is a peculiar and remarkable piece of our unnatural world that you must experience at least once in your life, but may not want to see multiple times in a single visit. Let's start our examination with the lyrics of the theme song in the Tiki 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 Room. Everybody sing now. In the Tiki 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 Room.
In the Tiki 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 Room.
Where the birds sing words and the flowers croon. In the Tiki 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 Room. That was metaphorical.
In the Tiki, let's try that again.
Which
is
the Tiki 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 Room?
Thank you. That's in the Tiki 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 Room.
Go ahead, you try it.
Mr. Puddle.
You know, it kind of sticks in your mind there.
Tiki Brand
issued a statement distancing itself from white nationalists who carry tiki torches.
That song just about sums this bizarre little oddity up. You get to sit in a wooden room full of 225 jocular avian, floral, and carved wooden tiki god robots that sing, whistle, drum, and tell bad jokes. We'll ignore that attempt to rhyme croon with room, and instead note that very much a reflection of its period, the Enchanted Tiki Room characters are mostly ethnic stereotypes, presented as talking and singing birds that will leave you quite thoroughly agog in what we like to think of as the relatively enlightened 90s. It's so full of dated cultural references that most visitors today, especially youngsters, won't get that it's remarkable that it survived this long. I hope it lasts forever, and am encouraged they build a duplicate at Walt Disney World. Note that the show's story explains why the switched-off bird robots are stationary as you enter the room. They're asleep.
How can a mechanical bird make a mess?
I am always ready to, how you say, put on the show.
Romigo, stop the clucking.
Indeed you are, my mechanical friend. Note that the centerpiece fountain is filled with Dole pineapples and that the plastic flowers frequently have cobwebs.
That's genuine Dole, Mr. Weatherman.
I still haven't got my second mount. I want it now.
Despite the formidable mental towers and cables that the basic premise requires you to erect in order to suspend your roadway of disbelief, the show itself actually has a very musical structure, complete with introduction, overture, statement, and development of several themes, recapitulations, and a finale that brings together all of the themes, including the cheerful Hawaiian war chant, together simultaneously.
Sound like a bunch of old hands.
The four main characters, male parrots all, affect Bing Crosby, Maurice Chevalier, and Louis Armstrong singing-style parodies, which, although they must have been fairly obvious cultural references in 1963 Enchanted Tiki Room was introduced, now merely seem bizarre, lend the whole show something of the flavor of spending a Saturday afternoon at home, watching old blackened movies with stars you never heard of.
What a bridge waiting to go on.
Listen for the melody from I Wonder from You Know Who's Snow White cartoon movie at the start of the Offenbach whistling section. Speaking of which, how anyone ever imagined that section of the show would be interesting is way beyond me. My own way of getting through it is to imagine the unlikely look of the soundtrack recording sessions with perhaps a dozen professional whistlers standing around the mics.
Isn't that, you get off on my buck and I'll get off on your buck?
That's correct.
Oh, I always like that one. It always gives me a big chuckle.
If I could interrupt, Rex, could I ask you why your head is flashing?
Oh, you must be referring to my the thing I'm wearing that I bought at the Star Trader store in Tomorrowland, my Disneyland visor with the flashing red and green LEDs and the Disneyland logo
it's
across the
spectacular.
Front. Spectacular. In silver. Yeah.
It is spectacular.
Thanks. I
just noticed it.
I feel compelled to note that the Enchanted Tiki Room's entire Hawaiian music treatment owes a heavy, if unacknowledged, debt to both the remarkable Martin Denny for its exotica instrumental stylings, and the remarkable Ema Sumac for the wordless high soprano wailing, her trademark.
Ema Sumac, huh?
I think I see something moving on the floor here.
Just buy it. Everything's on us.
In a strangely synchronistic development, Denny alumnus Julius Wechter's Baja Marimba Band later appeared live at Disneyland, and Ema Sumac sings I Wonder on the really cool 1989 album Stay Awake, Disney songs done by various pop artists.
And a fine-feathered friend is this a real frog or a fake frog?
And her voice is still amazing, even after all these years. Speaking of tone, don't you find that the tinny sound of all those tiny speakers arrayed around you, i.e. one per bird or flower or tiki god, gets awfully distracting
well,
after a while?
Let's ask the weatherman that one. Weatherman, do you find those tinny speakers there getting on your nerves?
Oh, I don't mind them. I just couldn't believe that this thing made a mess on me, damn it. Pineapple is real good. I'm almost done with my second serving.
Have another one. It's on us.
It might upset my stomach.
Now, at a few points in the show, the audience is invited to sing along with the automa, but careful listeners will notice that they've actually faked the soundtrack. There's a loud audience sing-along track mixed in with the birds and flowers and so forth, which can have a very peculiar effect if there are only a handful of people actually sitting in the room watching the show. I remember noticing this the first time I saw the Enchanted Tiki Room at age 5, and being surprised that so many of the people in the audience both A, knew the song, and B, could sing so well. Then I noticed that only a handful of people were actually singing, and became very confused. Also confusing to many youngsters is the great fake rainstorm effect near the end, as upon exiting, one finds the outside pavement still dry.
Now, that voice we just heard, that was not Louis Armstrong. That's someone else. Most little birdies will fly away, but take your time.
Now, we're coming up on these sections where it's going to sound like the audience is singing along, but it's not. Here it comes. See, that's not the audience.
Oh, this is the bubba-boo part, as I remember.
I see your aficionado of Walt Disney's Enchanted Cookie
Room. I remember it well as a child.
Sort of like a laugh track. Are they supposed to sing along? I don't hear the weatherman singing.
Come on, Mr. Weatherman.
All around you, from those tiny speakers.
Sing, weatherman. You're going to sing now, aren't you?
Come on, Mr. Weatherman, it's the pineapple song.
I think I ate too much pineapple.
I think everybody already knows the role that the Dole Corporation has had in the history of Hawaii and basically the decimation of Native Hawaiian culture, which makes their sponsorship of this attraction particularly disturbing.
Oh, Rex, what a wet blanket. Come on, Rex, who cares? That's got nothing to do with Disneyland. We're here to have fun.
Howdy, everybody. I'm the Whisperin' Squad.
And I'm the Lonesome Bee Tick.
And I'm Artie Choke. And we're just a joke.
And don't be afraid, little people, because we're just Holy Graham.
Great.
Yeah, but what about you, partner? What you doing today?
Can't be much, Lonesome. Nobody's working.
Nobody except us, and I'm getting tired of standing here with these geeks a-gawking at me.
Now you keep it sweet, Pete.
Listen here, Leafhead, I'm gonna pluck
your eye. Now, boys, fighting's out of style, yeah. And fun's where the fair's at. In the future, that is.
You can bet your roots, Toots, it's tons of fun.
And technical stimulation.
That's what I need.
And there's lots more of me where I come from.
In government-inflicted simulation.
The future can't wait. Yeah. No place to hide.
Yeah, so climb on aboard.
We're going inside.
The light in that star. The light in your eye. How did it get there? Does it just keep bouncing from stars to eyes? Forever? And within that point of light live what dark worlds?
Still here. No dream, unless the dream's a cage I can't get out of. Asleep, I go many places, but I wake up here, in a box.
See this fabled terrarium. Oh, it's not. Yeah, yes, it is. An orangutan. Oh, but you said you had the great ape Set. Where's the chimpanzee and the gorilla?
I had them.
You.
Well, I still got the orangutan.
Still. Stole it from someone tonight, right?
And the human. That's half the set.
They give them away.
Maybe I'm at a world's fair. Worlds on display. Best specimens of the galaxy, right here. People standing in line for days just to peer at me in amazement.
An orangutan. Oh.
All the beauty of the planet, right there.
Love the hair. You can breathe that red.
Yeah.
In and out of the green. Like you said, a color poetry.
Trees for one, trees for all.
All you've got is the orangutan and the human, or is that a human in orangutan suit?
But nobody's got the whole great ape set. I was watching the comet, and it got so cold. Looking at that big frozen ball of frozen sympathy, and now I'm here. Have I gone inside the snowflake like that ride at Disneyland?
I am the first person to make this fabulous journey. Suspended in the timelessness of inner space are the thought waves of my first impressions. They will be our only source of contact once you have passed beyond the limits of normal magnification.
I am passing beyond the magnification limits of even the most powerful microscope. These are snowflakes, and yet they seem to grow larger and larger. Or can I be shrinking? Shrinking beyond the smallness of a tiny snowflake crystal. Indeed, I am becoming smaller. And smaller. These tiny bits of snowflake crystal tower above me like an enormous wall of ice. Can I penetrate this gigantic prism? And yet, this wall of ice only seems smooth and solid. From this tiny viewpoint, I can see that nothing is solid, no matter how it appears. And still, I continue to shrink. What compelling force draws me into this mysterious darkness? Can this be the threshold of inner space? What are these strange spheres? Have I reached the universe of the molecule? Yes. These are water molecules. They vibrate in such an orderly pattern because this is water, frozen into the solid state of matter. These fuzzy spheres must be the atoms that make up the molecule. Two hydrogen atoms bonded to a single atom. And I see it's the orbiting electrons that give the atom its fuzzy appearance. And still, I continue to shrink. Is it possible that I can enter the atom itself? Electrons are dashing about me like so many fiery comets. Can I possibly survive? I have pierced the wall of the oxygen atom. I am so infinitely small now that I can see the Milky Way of our own solar system. This vast realm, this is the infinite universe within a tiny speck of snowflake crystal. And there is the nucleus of the atom. Do I dare explore the vastness of its inner space? No, I dare not go on. I must return to the realm of the molecule before I go on shrinking forever.
Maybe the comet has to snatch up some people from Earth as our payment for catching sight of it. The better view you have, the more likely you are to be snatched up.
You know how hard it is to get an orangutan? You have to know the right person at just the right time.
Frightfully hard.
Yes. And then they force you to take the humans off their hands.
Who wants one?
Small head, even for a human.
And no hair. Except on top. No idea where it is. What's happened to it? Ugly little worms. Like worms with wigs.
Maybe I've got that disease. Canadian cholera, wasn't it? That makes people appear dead for a few days. And they've buried me. And now I'm woken up. Hey, I'm not a zombie. Let me out. I'm alive.
It's tapping at the walls of its cage. I think it's trying to tell us something.
With a brain that small, what could it possibly have to tell us?
What does the orangutan think?
I think it thinks about food.
And the human?
Who knows?
But why is the coffin so big? Am I an Egyptian pharaoh and this my pyramid?
The pyramid is opening!
Which one?
The one with the ever-widening hole in it!
I'm saved! I'm going in!
No! It's dark and dirty in there!
Oh, but Mom!
It's full of bees and spiders! You might poke your eye out when your father comes home!
I'm going in, Mom! There's a vacancy!
And if so, where's all my stuff that's supposed to go with me to the afterlife? The afterlife of atoms? After all, it is a small world.
Human in an empty box, but the orangutan gets a forest.
The orang needs the forest. It's a part of the forest. The humans live in boxes on their planet, cut themselves off from living things. This is the natural state of both creatures.
Look, the orang seems to be making something.
it always is. It bends its environment, it makes nests which spring back when it's finished with them, and moves on.
If I'm in a coffin, why all the light? There's no light in the grave. People having near-death experiences say it's a matter of going into light. Maybe that's what I'm doing, becoming a photon, an electron, a quark, a prion, whatever you get when you get to the smallest thing. I'm inside that. That's what this wall is. This is definable reality in its smallest possible existence. What'll I do?
What'll I do? What'll I do? What an unusual view!
Maybe it's my duty to bring into existence the next universe. Within me is the void, and from that, nothing comes everything.
Oh, a human is really a boring creature.
And it's wiping out all the interesting creatures on its world, and making it the most boring place in the galaxy.
What's on TV?
And we'll be back with tonight's virus theater drama, The Terrarium, after a word from Regal RNA. You'll feel like King Felix with our double helix. And in the quarterfinals tonight, interferon 3 herpes 2.
In our top story, scientists have conducted an experiment that could turn the world of physics on its ear.
Ouch! My ear!
Using the powerful atom smasher in Science City, they found evidence that prions are not the smallest particles, even though currently accepted theory says they must be. Our science reporter has the story.
Once upon a time, scientists thought that the atom was the smallest building block of matter. This proved to be a fairy tale when they discovered that the atom was made up of more fundamental particles called electrons, protons, and neutrons. Later, they discovered that these particles were made up of quarks, which were in turn held together by other particles called gluons. Scientists were certain there was nothing inside the quarks until they discovered prions, surely the most elemental particle of them all, until today's remarkable discovery. Dr. Macro heads the atom smashing team.
What we find is that at the highest energy level we can see, there are significantly more particles produced than would be predicted by the theory of strong interactions as presently calculated.
In other words, they shouldn't be seeing what they were seeing. The team first thought there was something wrong with their experiment, that the excess jets of high energy particles were really just a statistical hiccup.
The same thing happened when we found the prions inside the quarks. It was supposed to be impossible. We must be doing something wrong.
Don't you have the wrong accent, Doctor? Why is a Korean scientist speaking with a German accent?
In another universe, inside the smallest particle in this one, Dr. Mike Rowe, a German scientist with a Korean accent, is expressing his frustrations with these never-ending particles.
Used universes for sale. Get your used universes right here. Only 5 pesos.
What you got? Anything hot?
Yeah, this universe is on fire.
Wow. Great.
Insane. We can all.